Amen. Well, we are we're kicking off a new series, and most of you are probably familiar with what a series is, right? Series is just an elongated conversation. It means we're going to take a long conversation, we're going to break it up into smaller segments and talk about it each week. So we're going to kick off this teaching series, and we're calling it hashtag no filter. And the truth is that for a lot of us, or for a lot of people, may not be you, but you're going to know somebody, you're going to come across somebody in your life. You see, I have this just firm foundation, right, that understands that sometimes that we need to learn something for us, and sometimes we need to learn something that we can pass on to somebody else. And so maybe this morning, as we're just kind of walking through it, you're like, oh man, I get a kind of a skate out of this one. That has nothing to do with me. Like maybe, just maybe, God's going to bring somebody, or already has somebody in your life that really needs to hear the story, and God's going to share it through you. And so when it comes to this idea of just no filter, I think that a lot of people in our culture, in our society, that we compare our unfiltered lives, we compare our unfiltered life with those that have edited it perfectly. They filtered it perfectly, and we're trying to compare this raw life to something that somebody else has made to stand out and pop, and don't even know if it's reality or not. But we're comparing ourselves with them, and it's not healthy at all. Now, for some of you, maybe all of you, you can go back to a time, and I would say that the worst day in school. Anybody know what your guess would be? What was the worst day at school, besides like day one? And for some of you, maybe it's the last day. No. The worst day in school, do you remember? Had to have been, truly, for all of us. And you're a good-looking group. Who said it? Picture day was the worst day in school. It's the only day for some of you guys that you carried a comb. It's the only day you cared about the comb. Anyway, it's picture day, right? And so you go in, and if you remember when they would sit you down on the seat and they had you face kind of awkward and turn you and do your chin and your eyes and tilt, you never sit like that ever in your life. Ever. And for one moment of your life for that year, they set you in a weird chair and you're wearing a collared shirt, and you never wore a collared shirt. And your mom has spit all down so your hair would stay, and mom spit's amazing. It's miraculous stuff. It cleans everything. And they turn you kind of crazy and they turn your head, and everybody back there is looking at you. Sometimes they put you in the isolation, right, so no one could stare in. And then they got the little bulb thing, right? And they don't give you really a warning. They just tell you that they're going to take the picture. And then they go 1, 2, 3, and they kind of get you in that picture. You're like, but you don't know that, right? Go back to picture day in school. And you know that for a lot of, none for you, always for me, they got like the worst picture they could get. And guess what? No edits. No edits. And for a lot of us, depending on school and how fast it was, but you didn't get to find out for weeks, maybe months, how well that picture turned out. And if you didn't have the money to buy the stupid little packet that you just lose forever, you don't find out what your picture looked like until it shows up in the annual, and you are infamously known forever, like in sixth grade, you're the guy that went, and you can't do anything about it. But now, right, times have changed. And we can edit pictures, and we can retake, and we can make them black and white. We can soften it. We can mess with the contrast. We can take red eye out. We can take the double chin out, right? We can Photoshop that. If you have a zit, like, you can make that go away. How many of you remember, like, you never had a pimple till picture day, and all of a sudden the night before a zit showed up? And you remember when you would pick a flower and you go, she loves me, she loves me not. Remember that? Anybody ever? I'm just old. You would do that to convince yourself, and you would count before you would do it so it would end up right. And you would kind of do that, like, do I pop the zit? Do I not pop the zit? Do I pop? Because you didn't know, because there was a chance that you were just going to have even a bigger mess on your face, and it was picture day. Well, now, right, culture says you can just, like, take something and just, that never existed, did it? It has nothing to do with it. And so if, just kind of want to set this idea, right, this hashtag no filter, right off the bat, if I got some note takers in the room, or you like to kind of follow along, or maybe let your mind meditate on something, maybe you would remember this, is that for a lot of people in our culture and society and the times in which we live, they are living for likes. but every one of us are longing to be loved. And there's something inside us. Matter of fact, the psychologist and doctor, they've even proven that there is a dopamine that gets released in your brain that every time you find that when people are hearting or liking or commenting positively on your post, that it kind of releases this chemical and we begin to get addicted to it. And so we're constantly checking our status to see if people are liking it and what the comments are, and it's feeding our ego. But maybe not always in the good way, because we're living for likes, but we're longing to be loved. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we want it or bad we want it, those likes will never fill that longing to be loved, especially if we're filtering the pictures that we're trying to create. Now, here's the deal. This isn't a modern day problem. This isn't something that just started happening with technology. This idea, this frustration and this tension that is existing now, it goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And I just want to show you kind of a one place where it happened, maybe with somebody that you thought would never deal with this, never struggled with this, or just kind of maybe an odd story that you never looked at it this way. And so I'm just going to invite you, if you would, if you have an electronic device, feel free to use it. If you have a Bible app on your phone, if you don't, could I encourage you to go to your App Store, your Google Play, whatever it is for you, and maybe you would download a Bible app, or YouVersion is a phenomenal one that I love a lot. But if you have it, I want you to follow along. If you have your Bible, maybe you'd open up to the book of 2 Corinthians. Now, the easiest way to find it, if you're not familiar with your Bible, is go to the table of contents, because I promise you, God does not give bonus points to people who don't need the table of contents. He just wants you to open it, so don't feel weird if you have to go there. It's just the fastest way to find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And Paul, while you're turning there, if I can I give you just a little bit of background on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking, and he's going to tell us a story, but the story that he is going to be referring to actually takes us back to the Old Testament. It takes us back to a book called Exodus, where we're going to learn of a story about Moses. And then if you just wanted to write it down and go look back for it later and do fact check on the pastor to make sure he's not lying to you, Exodus chapter 34. So if you'd want to write that down, you go back and read the full story for yourself. But Paul brings it up in 2 Corinthians. He talks about it. And Paul is basically talking about a time when Moses ascended to the top of the mountain, and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights with God. And God's etching out the Ten Commandments. And that while he was with God and he got these Ten Commandments, that before he came down, that because of the amount of time that he set talking with God and God sharing his heart and etching these Ten Commandments out, that he came down, it says, with a glow around his face. So today we would just call it like hashtag MoGlow. And that's where he was, right? He just had this, everybody would have wanted it. I want MoGlow. And it would have sold fast. And so he came down and it was just the glory of God, the glory of the Lord just all about his face, and it shone brightly to him. And it says that that Moses would put a veil over his face. Now, today I'm going to call that veil a filter. That Moses put a filter over his face. Now, for the longest time, this is how I grew up thinking. I grew up thinking that Moses put a veil over his face because he wanted to protect everybody else from seeing the glory of the Lord. That it was just so bright, and he didn't want to burn their eyeballs out. You know, like you're looking at the Ark of the Covenant, you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. He didn't want to do that to people. And so he put this veil over his face, right? So to protect. That's how I grew up thinking. Because when you read in Exodus, and for whatever reason, like 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it began to pop out to me in a different way. And what we find out is that Moses actually talked to the people first. And it wasn't until after he talked to them, then he put the veil over his face. And what was actually happening is Paul isn't putting the filter over his face to protect people from the glory. He's putting this filter over his face, this veil over his face, to hide from them the truth. And that is that the glory was fading. And he wanted them to always think that the glory was there. he liked it. There was something. Now, I'm reading into that story a little bit, and so I don't want to call it gospel truth, but why else if it's fading and you don't want people to see it's fading because you like the likes? Oh, they like it when my face is glowing. I'm popular when my face is glowing. People listen to me when my face is glowing. People praise me when my face is glowing. So therefore, I want to kind of keep this status because it's working for me. And so when it's not actually working, I put a veil over my face so no one can see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face. Watch this. Highlight, circle, underline, make note of it. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory fading away. He put it over his face so the people would not see the glory what? Fading away. But the people's minds were hardened. And even to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, a veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can only be removed only by believing in Christ. Following, you seeing? Yes, even today, when they read Moses, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, with that filter, and they do not understand. Verse 16, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, whenever, whoever, whenever, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, good news, watch it, good news here. The veil, the filter, is taken away. You don't do it. Jesus does it. Now, this is an all familiar verse. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. And all of us have had that filter, that veil removed, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, look, we become more and more like him so that what? We can reflect his glory even more. This is unveiled or unfiltered living. The problem is, I think, as I look, as I watch, the problem is that most of us, we live with filters. There's something about ourselves that we don't want anyone else to see. We don't want anyone else to know. We're really good at hiding out, at blotching out, at kind of editing the parts of our lives. We're really good at somehow putting on the right face and saying the right words and looking the right part. And all while there's this other stuff that's going on in our life and we don't want anybody to know. Moses, somehow, for some reason, he struggled with it. The glory was fading away, and he didn't want anybody to see it. And so he puts this filter, this veil. We've become so skilled at it. We've become so skilled at portraying a picture that we want people to see so they won't see who we really are. Paul implies that Moses is hiding the truth. And maybe in some ways when we're applying filters to our life, we're doing the same thing. It kind of goes all the way back to the story of the Garden of Eden. Remember, surely you've heard the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? And when Adam and Eve found out, right, when their sins were discovered and they realized what they did was wrong, the first thing they did, they didn't go confess to God, did they? What'd they go do? They hid. They went, they ran, and they hid. Like, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I'm busted, the first thing I don't want to confess. I want to hide from it. I want to protect myself from it. It's that nature in us. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They wanted to hide, and they put what over themselves? Because they learned that they were naked, and all of a sudden it meant something different to them. And so they covered themselves with fig leaves. They covered themselves with a filter. and they're hiding from God. And they're like, God, there's a part of my body, there's a part of my life, there's a part of something I've done that I don't want you to see, as if God doesn't know. But we think if we can kind of cover it up or hide it in a different way that others won't see who we really are, and we give them a picture of who we want them to see. Let me confess to you, maybe on a silly note, I have been living in bondage for years in a particular area. But this past year, this is going to sound funny to you, but hang with me. My toes have found freedom. Because some of you, you are sandal wearing, flip-flop wearing. Your feet are so tanned, they look beautiful, all right? Even if they're ugly, they're beautiful. You're just showing them out there for the world to see. Since I've been little growing up, I never would show my bare feet in public. Never, ever. I mean, I just socks and shoes. At the beach, I'm the guy with shoes on. It's just how I grew up, right? And now, I don't know, maybe, so why is this? I'm in my mid-40s, I'm happily married, my wife loves most things about me, and she can deal with my feet. And we were going down to we were having our family reunion, we went up to Michigan, and I said, you know, I don't want to be the guy on the beach with shoes this year. So I cast them suckers aside, and I wore flip-flops. I found freedom. Some of you, you don't get that. But when you're walking around with sock line tans, man, you know, like, that's who I was. And anyway, little fun jog of thanks. And so here's the deal. Level 13, here's the deal. I'm serious. If you see me in flip-flops, sandals, you better keep your eyes right here. Long as you keep your eyes right here, nobody gets hurt. I see your head go down, whoop. That's happening. Sorry, I sneezed. No, for real. Listen, for real. I think a lot of us have different filters, different areas that we struggle with and we want to hide. Like the spiritual guy look or the spiritual girl look, right? And so we love sitting, maybe it's at that place and we've got our Bible open like we're reading our devotion and a cup of coffee and we take that perfect picture and we hashtag it. And we want everyone to think, man, you're just so spiritual. Look at you spending time praying and reading. All while you've got fantasy football opened right down here, you know, and you're just waiting for your buddies to show up. So you were pacifying time. You just thought that'd be a pretty cool picture. We all struggle, or maybe it's this, we want to present ourselves that we are spiritual, but we know this, that we are struggling with a deep sin that we don't want anybody to know about. We want them to think that we've got it together. We read, we pray, we spend time alone with God. That's the filter that we're applying to our life. Maybe for somebody, maybe it's the got it all together mom. I'm just the with it mom. And we're taking pictures, you know, of the mom, and look at me and my kids, and we're all baking cookies, and we're over here serving them to our neighbors, and we hashtag that and take pictures of that. We're showing all the crafts that we're making. We're showing how we're the ways that we're involved in life, in our work, and with our kids, and so we kind of hashtag it that we're the with it mom. But underneath, if everybody or anybody could really peer into our life, if they were to know who you really were, you would be overwhelmed and overworked and underappreciated, and you don't want anybody to know that. But you filter it. It's playground dad. It's dad who decides to take the kids to the playground. It's like it's daddy day at the park, you know, and you're taking pictures with your kids. But what nobody else knows is that's the only day this entire year you've done that. But we want everybody to think that I'm the dad that has it going on and I enjoy my kids and my kids enjoy me. And so we put a filter up because I don't want anybody to know the truth. It's the anniversary picture. It's the anniversary picture that says, I'm here with my Ooga. You know what an Ooga is? I have to share this everywhere I go. If you remember back in the old cartoons, like whenever the guy would see this girl that he just thought was beautiful and his eyes would pop out and go, Ooga, Ooga, right? So you hashtag your anniversary picture, like here with my smoochy poo right here, you know, and like things are great. But if anybody else knew, they would know that you're fighting for every thread to stay together. But man, we put the filter up. And we do it in so many ways, don't we? Just over and over. And there's just so much that is going on. But like Moses, we want to apply this filter so that no one sees the truth that lies beneath. And if you're a note writer, if this kind of would stick to you maybe, I would like for you to read this as a status update. is a filter that covers the face, eventually covers the heart. That if you can't be real with who you are, face value, it's going to eventually cover your heart, and you're going to begin to believe a lie about yourself. You're going to begin to allow others to believe a lie about you, and eventually you're going to buy into the lie about you because we're not dealing with who we really are and what we're really struggling with. And God didn't create you so you could have that large of a gap between you and Him. And if we're constantly trying to keep people at an arm's length, and we're constantly trying to keep Him at an arm's length, and we want to put on this facade, we can never experience true intimacy. Verse 17 and 18, if I can just read it again. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed, so we can be mirrors that reflect brightly the glory of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord works within us, so we can become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. So practically, you know, how does it sound when we're applying the filter? Someone comes up and says, how you doing? I go, great. How's it relate? How's home? Oh, it's good. How's the job working out? Love it. Like, we just give the quick, man, and it's the filter. So maybe last, if you want to remember this, only Christ can remove the filter. Only Christ can set you free. Christ and Christ alone, and the likes can't do it, and the hearts can't do it, and the comments can't do it, and the number of followers can't do it, and the number of friends can't do it. Only Christ is the one that's going to be able to set you free. And so I just have some questions maybe in your action area. I just have some questions, some real questions I'd like to ask you. If you would be honest with yourself and no one else, don't say it out loud. And, you know, I'm not asking you to show your neighbor. I'm just asking you. No filter. What filter are you applying in your life? What is the filter that you're applying at home, you're applying at work, you're applying online? In other words, if someone was to begin to follow you and they begin to watch your life, is that the real you? When your people are asking you about your life or you're engaging, are you the real you? What filter are you applying to your life, and what work? If you were able to sit across the table from Jesus and you were able to have a conversation about the filters that you're applying, what is the filters that you would ask Him to remove? What is the work He needs to do in you to set you free from that filter? As you think about that, I would just like to pray over our thoughts as we engage in what we do with what we've been confronted with. Heavenly Father, God, I confess that all too often I worry about what other people think. And I will go to great lengths to try to win them over to think right things about me. That there's a lot of ugliness in my own life. There's a lot of shortcomings. There's a lot of thoughts that I wrestle with. And I just don't want others to know. And I would say at times, God, I even try to hide them from You. And I wonder, Lord, if there's anyone else in the room that's trying to edit their life and in a way that's unhealthy. And I just pray, God, that as they would begin to see clearly in a no-filter way, that they would begin to see their life and what they're trying to hide, and that maybe they would find the courage not to want to hide anymore and to confess it to You. Begin to ask that You would remove their desire to put the filters up, and that You would begin to remove them so they could live an unfiltered life for You. That instead of looking for likes from others, they would begin to find their love from You, and they would crave it, and it would bring them joy and peace. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this work that You're doing, that You've done, in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ushers come up, hopefully all of you, when you walked in, you received this handout. And as a lot of you probably know, if you don't, it's perforated at the bottom. And I would just ask that as you begin to fill that out, that maybe today is the day that says, I'm tired of applying the filter. I'd like some help. I'd like a conversation. I'd just like someone being aware of it and praying for me. Maybe you have another question about your relationship with God or how to engage and how to engage into the community of this fellowship, how to engage with others, how to engage with God. If you would just kind of begin to just remove that, fill that out as you prayed, and you just kind of know, here's a question I have, a comment, a prayer request, something I'm interested in. You can fill that out, place that in, and we will follow up with you because we want to help you. I want to come alongside. Our team wants to come alongside the best way we can and help you live a non-filtered life, an unfiltered life with Christ. As you're doing that, maybe you take notice of a few things. If you were planning on showing up at the courtyard event today, hey, that's needed to be canceled, but you're going to get a whole new schedule. So if that was you and you were going to show up today, it's going to be laid down, but you're going to get further news. If you have a student that's in sixth grade and up, they've got some, the youth ministry's getting ready to kick off. You got some youth events happening. I want you to take notice, parents, and so they can even talk to their friends. They need to be at a place where they can learn to follow Christ boldly amongst their peers. Youth group is an incredible place to be able to grow close to their peers at the same time growing close to Christ. And then lastly, I would just ask for some love. Just kind of, you want to do some hashtag living, hashtag I love my church. And you can do that by showing up on Workday Wednesday to help out and just beautify and protect the place that we have the privilege of working in week out. Thank you. May God bless you.